The disorder and criminality that we have seen in Leeds is completely unacceptable, and I will be talking to community members to try and understand what has been going on and to try and calm tensions. What we have seen is people, far-right thugs, going into the community to stir up hatred, and it is absolutely unacceptable and we will not tolerate it. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, I am sort of paraphrasing there, but I don't know if you noticed the difference between the reaction of Home Secretary Yvette Cooper to what happened in Leeds, which was the rioting in Leeds, which she was relatively calm, and the rioting in Southport, which had a much more egregious cause, during which she was extremely angry. Of course she was extremely angry. The people who were rioting in Leeds were foreigners, were Romany Gypsy, and she likes those. Whereas the people who were rioting in Southport were white working class people, and she hates those and probably wishes they were dead. And so you can see that she would be furious that they would have the temerity to riot, because their rioting threatens her power and threatens her sense of importance, whereas Romany's rioting does not. And what I want to look at today is how possibly one of the most evil things in British history, a man, a Welsh man, going into a nursery school and killing three little girls could possibly have happened. And I want to understand why the Home Secretary reacted with so much more anger to rioting over that than Romany's rioting because a seemingly abused child was taken into care. But before I do that, could you please subscribe if you value what I do? It really helps me if you subscribe. Could you subscribe here on YouTube? Could you subscribe on thejollyheretic.com, my Substack, where if you value what I do, you can support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. Now back to the video. So, we see this fascinating difference with Yvette Cooper's reaction. In Leeds, she pretends to be annoyed, she's slightly irritated, but you can tell that with what happened in Salford, which is native white people rioting, that being unhappy, being angry, that is so much more dangerous. And so she's genuinely furious. Why is this? Well, the reason is because Yvette Cooper is a member of the ruling class. And it is, if anything, useful for her that immigrants should riot. This just creates a sense of disorder on the streets. This evidences a division among the working class, which is useful if you are upper class, to have a divided working class, because then they are divided among each other and they are easier to control. This represents a manifestation of a sort of a narco-tyranny, which will mean that people, white people, are so frightened, are so unable to feel that they're safe, that they won't have time to politically organise against the regime and think about their own interests. They'll be too busy being scared of their houses being broken into or violence or whatever. So it creates a sort of South Africa situation where it actually ironically becomes rather difficult to overthrow the regime because there's so much criminality and you have to concentrate on surviving. So that's fine. But it's a problem. It's a big problem when it's actually the native population that start rioting. Let's understand the kind of people that they are. Left-wing people hate the native population. The way that they operate is that their moral circle is distant from self in a way that is not true of conservatives. Conservatives are at the centre of their universe, which is an evolutionarily sensible thing to be. And then they care next about their family, and next about their kin, and next about their ethnic group, and next about their race, and next about their species, and so on, in a series of concentric circles that emanate from self. This makes sense in terms of passing on your genes. The liberal, and he therefore is group oriented and cares about the good of his group. The liberal is quite different. The liberal will care about another social class over his own, another ethnic group over his own, another race over his own, and even another species over his own. And this is brilliant, because it means he can collaborate. If he likes foreigners more, he can collaborate with them to gain power over his own people. And a lot of studies indicate that conservatives are group-oriented. They care about the group more than they care about themselves. They care about the obedience to authority. They care about sanctity. They care about tradition. Whereas liberals are individually oriented. They are selfish. Being a liberal correlates with Machiavellianism, being power-hungry, with being mentally unstable, which makes you concerned about being destroyed, and so it makes you power-hungry, with being narcissistic, which means that you want power and you want love and you want adoration. And so therefore you are obsessed with power. How do you get it? You collaborate. You are an individual. You're selfish. You want power. You care about yourself. You collaborate with foreigners, collaborate with people that are different from you in order to get it over your own people. So it follows that foreigners rioting will trigger a born traitor like Liz Truss far less than the working class of her own group rioting, because she hates her own group. And in particular, she hates being Machiavellian, low status members, and being narcissistic, low status members of her own group. She sees herself as important. She sees herself as special. And therefore people, she only likes other special people, other people with status, and therefore low status people within her own group are the vilest, most disgusting people of all. How dare they riot? But she's also frightened of them, and she has good reason to be frightened of them. Let us look, in understanding this, and understanding the reaction that the murders have precipitated, with what we will call a sort of double negative reasoning or counter dominance. This is an idea of the evolutionary psychiatrist Bruce Charlton. Basically, high status people in prehistory have more access to resources. In the case of men, they have more access to women. So how do they keep the other members of the group on side? How do they stop the other members of the group from rioting and overthrowing them, banding together, low status people banding together and killing them? The answer is that they share. They share their resources, and an unequal equilibrium is maintained. In small-scale societies, this is particularly necessary because people who are of low status are able to monitor how much food people of high status have, are able to monitor the degree to which things are fair. As societies become more complex, it is easier for people that have high status to hoard resources, to hide resources, and it is easier for them to maintain a high level of unfairness and a high level of power by basically collaborating with some groups of low status people, giving them a bit more basically, so they protect them from those of very low status, and therefore they can become very rich. Nevertheless, attempts are made by those with low status to monitor the degree of fairness by gossip, via slagging off the people in positions of power, via all kinds of things to try and bring them down and force them to share their resources. As a society becomes more complex and more specialised, it is even easier for those with high status to maintain their status and to have a hugely unfair proportion of the pie compared to everybody else. And this is exactly what the leftists who have attained status do. How have they managed to do this? Well, the way they have managed to attain status is via morality. So it's them arguing that we have a certain morality that everyone accepts, and that is the morality of equality and the morality of harm avoidance. They don't really believe in these things, of course, but they signal them. They virtue signal. They say, I am the most moral. What they're actually signalling is luxury beliefs, because the beliefs they are signalling, the importance of multiculturalism, the importance of being kind to criminals, the importance of all of these harm avoidance and equality sorts of ideas, do not affect them because they are rich. They can insulate themselves from the consequences of their ideas, but they do affect the poor. And so basically what they are doing is attaining even greater social status by signalling these ideas and at the same time bringing about policies which allow them to signal those ideas, which actually increase the level of inequality in the society, because by signalling those ideas, they bring in mass immigration, and mass immigration undermines the livelihoods and undermines the wages of working class people. By signalling those policies, they reduce the monitoring of crime, because we all have to think about the poor little criminals and be sympathetic to them, harm avoidance and equality, remember. By signalling these policies, they stop us from being allowed to talk about what the policies do to the community, because that could involve hate speech, that could involve social harm, that could involve all kinds of things. So that has to be stopped. So they can't be talked about, and so therefore there can be even more immigration, and therefore the working class can be disunited via politically correct policies, via being divided by sexuality, via being divided by race, by being divided by religion, or whatever it happens to be. So they're too busy fighting themselves to gang together and try and extract a fairer amount of the resources from the upper class. So it's completely in their interests, and in the interest of greater and greater inequality, that the left bring about policies like this. In doing so, of course, they've done a number of things. First of all, they've made life objectively worse in terms of safety, in terms of resources, in terms of relative resources for working class people. And secondly, they've completely undermined, remember, we are a balanced species. We are group oriented and we are individually oriented. And by focusing just on the individually oriented moral foundations, equality, harm avoidance, they ignore the group oriented ones, sanctity, i.e. the importance of certain things being disgusting and out, and certain things being good for the group and sanctified, obedience to authority, and of course in-group loyalty. They ignore those things. This creates a sense of dysphoria, and accept that not all is right, a feeling of being invaded. And they carry on like this until eventually the level of inequality is so high and the level of resentment is so high that you get there's nothing else the poor can do than riot. And that is what you see. And of course they are going to riot in response to the absolute disgust and the absolute visceral emotion of a government that has followed policies which have permitted these murders to take place. Because they have. First of all, they have brought in mass immigration. If you bring in mass immigration, you undermine social trust in general, both between the immigrants and the non-immigrants and among the natives themselves. Secondly, they have brought in policies to go on and on about Black Lives Matter and how terrible white people are, and they've inculcated black people with these ideas. Thirdly, they've brought in care in the community and so forth, so that mentally ill people who should be locked up in institutions for the safety of themselves and society are allowed to be medicated and to be in the community. And fourthly, they are very, very weak on crime, so that people with criminal tendencies can just wander around and do whatever they like, so they can virtue signal about it and say how in favour of equality and harm avoidance they are. These things come together to mean that you have a Rwandan, presumably inculcated with Black Lives Matter type ideas, that goes into a nursery and kills little white children. And then, to make matters worse, the media lie so much, because they are part of the elite and they're in the thrall of these ideas as well, that of course people are going to assume it's something to do with Islam, because so many things are. And then they have the audacity to say it's the far right coming in and doing this. Look at the patronising attitude they have towards working class people. Working class people cannot spontaneously think this is not good enough, we're going to riot and try to express ourselves. No. They have to be indoctrinated by evil outside devil elements who are presumably middle class. It can't just be that in fact the working class don't like the policies of the Labour Party or of the government. No. There must be some evil far-right force that can't come from among the working class, because that would be to accept that among the working class there was support for people, other genuine support for people other than them. So they say they've been manipulated. No, they've not been manipulated. They finally had enough. And what these policies have done is they have turned Britain into Northern Ireland of old. They have created a low-level civil war. Tit-for-tat violence, tit-for-tat killings. That will be the future. And what it can ultimately be explained by is the utter, mendacious, Machiavellian selfishness of the kind of people who vote Labour.